Rethought Media Network. We are a global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. Rethought Media Network. Positively inspiring.
Hello again, dear ones. Dr. Robert with you here on a Friday evening. It's 5 o'clock on the Mountain Time Zone, and that means it is time for the good news. The opportunity I take, and that we take here, because others do this as well, to share the good news stories we've run across over the past week. So grateful that you're with us. Please feel free to share, like, subscribe, and let us know about the good news stories that you find throughout the week. Anytime you find a good news story, send it over. goodnews@ntmedia.org. That's goodnews@ntmedia.org. I'll get a chance to see that and maybe even include your story in our broadcast. All right, first up tonight, faster charging stations coming to California. There is now one high-speed charging station for every 5 gas stations in California, as California continues to lead the charge in revolutionizing EV travel. On April 12th, the California Energy Commission approved a $1.9 billion investment plan that advances the state's electric vehicle charging and hydrogen refueling goals. This funding builds on top of the $1.8 billion already invested and will help deploy 40,000 new public EV chargers statewide and other zero-emission infrastructure across California, creating the most extensive charging and hydrogen refueling network in the country. Right on. I didn't know this. 25% of all new cars sold in California last year were zero emission vehicles. That's according to the California Energy Commission. My word. Good news. Good news. We're building the infrastructure for the EV revolution. And hey, it's part of, part of what's happening, folks. And it's not the only groundbreaking, you're going to love the pun here. It's not the only groundbreaking high-speed story of the week. Last week, Department of Transportation officials celebrated the groundbreaking of America's first high-speed rail line between LA and Las Vegas. May have heard about this. It's been a big story as of late. The Bright Line West will travel at a little over 200 miles per hour. That's 320 kilometers per hour. That's a pretty standard speed for high speed around the world. Expected to be finished in just 4 years, Brightline is envisioned as being a crucial piece of tourist infrastructure for the upcoming 2028 Summer Olympics. Yeah, stay in Vegas, go to the events in LA. Fortress Investment Group has gathered $9 billion in financing for the project, but is being helped with a $3 billion grant from the administration's infrastructure bill, as spoken about in the previous story. This is a historic project and a proud moment where we break ground on America's first high-speed rail system and lay the foundation for a new industry. That's Wes Edens, the Brightline founder, at the groundbreaking ceremony. officials pounded miniature nails into miniature railroad tracks. They didn't actually drive a stake or anything. They just played with nails. Brightline is expected to serve 11 million passengers every year, running alongside US 15 from Vegas to LA. Wow. I love the idea of high-speed rail. I would love to travel across the country on high-speed rail. How about you? Let us know. Drop a comment in the comment box. Hey, here's one that I found really interesting. Scientists believe they found a way to make plastics more durable and biodegradable by adding bacterial spores that have been put through evolutionary rigors. They're calling it a living plastic, and scientists say it can break down in about 5 months without the necessary addition of other microbes. Researchers led by scientists at the University of California, San Diego, created this living plastic in the form of thermoplastic polyurethane, also known as TPU, a soft but durable commercial plastic used in footwear, floor mats, cushions, and memory foam. They explained that the material is filled with bacterial spores that, when exposed to nutrients present in compost, germinate and break it down at the end of its life cycle. The biodegradable TPU was made with bacterial spores from a strain of Bacillus subtilis that has the ability to break down plastic polymer materials. Oh my gosh. According to Professor John Pokorsky, it's an inherent property of these bacteria. We took a few strains and evaluated their ability to use TPUs as a sole carbon source, then picked the one that grew best. Right on. You can learn more about this story, folks, over at thegoodnewsnetwork.org. We get a lot of our stories over there each and every week, and we share them here with you. Check out goodnewsnetwork.org. Give them a little bit of the love that they deserve as well. Hey, you know, it's no surprise that drones have found their way into just about every corner of our lives. And for a group called ProSafe AI, pilot drones are carrying patented advanced computer vision software technology that sweeps the ground for landmines. Now, I think most people know that the landmine problem across the planet is actually quite detrimental. I've lost my notes on how many we've seen. The group, ProSafe Landmines, the team was invited to by the UN and Armed Forces of Ukraine to conduct training exercises in the fields north of Kyiv. UN workers had scattered between 50 and 100 inert landmines and bombs in the field and told the team to get to work. Using flight planning software, the co-founder on the project, Jasper, and Gabriel Steinberg pulled an all-nighter coding for the detection of all the mines in more than 15,000 pictures the drones captured. It took 2 hours of deep learning algorithm to make its determination from those photographs, and it accurately located 72 of the landmines. So we still got a ways to go there, folks, but hey, why not use the landmines to find, or use the drones to find the landmines? I love it. What a good news story. No humans, animals, or other forms of life were harmed in the creation of this story. Hey, we're going to take a real quick break, folks. Let you learn a little bit more about the New Thought Media Network. Let me find my tongue again. But don't go away, because we've got a lot more good news coming in just a couple of moments. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Yes, folks, we are having a new thought on social media. Head on over to our website, ntmedia.org. Along the top bar there, you'll see a word that says community. Click on that, follow the links, and you can get signed up today for our free social media platform and our social community. It's a great place to learn more about what we're doing here at New Thought Media Network, all the amazing people that are helping us to take this great message out into the world. We invite you to come join us. Hey, and speaking about a little bit of the world, are you ready for a picnic? Are you ready for maybe the world's largest picnic? Well, if you happen to be in Paris later this month, you might want to jump on LG Electronics' website. On Sunday, May 26th, LG Electronics is sponsoring a massive eating and promenading event where 4,000 lucky tourists and locals will have the opportunity to gather around a giant traditional red and white checkered picnic rug to sample Parisian cuisine. Now, the event is by ticket only, and it is by a contest. You have to enter a drawing. The drawing is free, but again, they're only going to allow 4,000 people at the event. If you happen to be in Paris, why not check it out? You could be one of the 4,000 lucky people. All you got to do is check it on their website. I just love the idea. I think this is such a cute idea. Let's have the world's largest picnic. What could be better than to remind ourselves that we are all one and we are all working together in this thing called life? Let's go to Paris. Let's win a picnic. I don't think they're going to give you the airfare, so you got to go there yourself. But we go to Paris. Let's win a picnic. Hey, here's a really great story. An orangutan appears to have treated a wound with medicine from a tropical plant. The latest example of somehow some animals attempt to soothe their own ills with remedies found in the wild. This is according to scientists who were observing rakus, a pluck and this orangutan. He plucked and chewed up leaves of a medicinal plant used by people throughout Southeast Asia to treat pain and inflammation. The adult male orangutan then used his fingers to apply the plant juice to an injury on his right cheek. Afterwards, he pressed the chewed plant to cover the open wound like a makeshift bandage. All this is according to a new study that was published in Scientific Reports. Previous research had documented several species of great apes foraging for medicines in forests to heal themselves, but scientists hadn't yet seen an animal treat itself in this way. This is the first time we've observed a wild animal applying a quite potent medicinal plant directly to a wound. That is with co-author Isabella Lumar, a biologist at the Max Planck Institute of Animal Behavior in Konstanz, Germany. Wow. Now, we talk about consciousness a lot here on this on these programs, folks, and on this network. And if there is any question, I would have to say the orangutans are conscious. They've been watching us self-medicate, and now they are learning to self-medicate, and it would appear to do so with success. Right on, Rakus. Way to show us how it is. Hey, I got another great wildlife story for you here. And this one comes from my adopted home state here of Colorado. A recent scene unfolded where wildlife officials had to rescue two young mountain lions that were in the path of a dam release. Workers at the Pine River Irrigation District Dam were about to release a large amount of water down a concrete spillway when one of the workers spotted the two yearling mountain lions at the bottom of a steep wall. According to posts on social media, he called the Colorado Parks and Wildlife to alert them of the animals and decided not to release the water from the reservoir near Durango. Thank you. The high walls of the spillway meant the mountain lions wouldn't be able to get out on their own, and a release of water would have likely drowned the two lions. Officer Ty Smith responded and pondered possible solutions. Eventually grabbed a long rope and dangled it in front of the young mountain lions to see if they would grab onto it. Cats do like to play with strings, right? And you know what? It worked. The first mountain lion took the bait and held on. With legs dangling, he was pulled to the top of the barrier and quickly ran off into the woods. The second lion, however, wouldn't hold on to the rope and ran down the spillway to where the river continues below the dam. Unwilling to swim to reach the bank, the young lion continued to pace at the water's edge, eventually cornering himself in a nook on the spillway. One of the wildlife officers decided he was going to go down a rope ladder into the spillway. But the lion got interested in the string again, and the rope worked a second time. They were able to use a catch pole and lift the lion over the concrete wall. He also ran off into the woods rather quickly. We know how cats like string, and sounds like these two lions had at least one of their lives saved by some handy people. Thank you, gentlemen, for making all that work. Mike Canterbury and John Livingston, those are our mountain lion rescue heroes of the week. And hey, don't go away. I've got a little bit more to share with you about what's going on, but then we do have our heroes of the week, and oh my gosh, there are a pile of them this week. We got four heroes to share with you in just a moment. So stay tuned, stay with us, come back. We'll be back right after these messages. More coming on the Good News Network.
The New Thought Men's community proudly presents New Thought Men's Summit Foundations, an online conference, September 22nd through 27th. Register today at www.newthoughtmens.community, featuring 22 New Thought speakers, ministers, and visionaries sharing their wisdom of modern spiritual masculinity. New Thought Men's Community, empowering wholeness, centered in spiritual living.
Please help us say thank you to our organizational sponsors, including the Heffernan Foundation, Affiliated New Thought Network, International New Thought Alliance, Science of Mind Archives and Library Foundation, Center for Spiritual Living Denver, Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, New Thought Philadelphia, Planned Happiness Institute, Summit Center for Spiritual Living, One Heart Retreats, Center for Spiritual Living on the Lake, Unity Kitchener, Unity Spiritual Center, Ottawa, Om Center for Spiritual Living, Satya Center, Begin Within Ministries, Center for Spiritual Living, North Jersey, Unity of Savannah, and the Center for Spiritual Living, Seattle, as well as all of our individual donors. Thank you for being part of the New Thought Media Network. Please like, share, and subscribe. New Thought Media Network, positively inspiring. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our organizational sponsors and individual donors for supporting this network and helping us to take this mighty message of the New Thought philosophy out into the world. It's thanks to your contributions that we're able to do what we do and share this message. If you'd like to become part of the New Thought Media Network sustaining membership, please head on over to our website, ntmedia.org. Click on the donate button and make it a monthly donation. We'll add your name to the next version of our thank you video. All right, back into the good news. And you know, folks, every week we look for that one hero of the week story, and it seems more often than not, we can't decide on one. Allow me to introduce you to one of our first heroes of the week. What you see here are Ruby and Mabel Leanings. Ruby's the older of the two, and back in 2020, she was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or ALL, the rare form of disease, and the family was desperate for donor stem cells for bone marrow to treat the disease. Remarkably, it was Ruby's 2-year-old little sister, Mabel, who came up as the perfect match and was able to donate her bone marrow to keep Ruby alive and help to treat her cancer. Cancer is declared, Ruby was declared cancer-free in 2022, and the family says that because Mabel has come to realize with what she did for her sister, she knows to borrow nearly everything that Ruby has. And mom said, it's all fun and games. Thank you, Ruby. Thank you so much. And thank you, Mabel, as well. You're our first heroes of the week. Next up, let me introduce you to another young man from Lantana, Florida. This young man has been given a Carnegie Hero Award, as well as a full ride scholarship to the Boynton Fire and Rescue Academy in Boynton, Florida. In December of this past year, a woman was spotted floating down the Boynton Beach Inlet, the most dangerous inlet of South Florida due to the rapid current. Unconcerned with his own safety, 17-year-old Jacob Thompson took off his shirt and jumped into the canal, swimming 80 feet and securing the woman around his waist before powering back to a cement wall. I just swam as fast as I can to get her. By the time I got to her, I don't want to say lifeless, but she was very tired from struggling and trying to get out of the water. The rescue was widely viewed on the local news and social media thanks to video of the incident taken by a bystander. Eventually, it caught the interest of Boynton resident Sarah Perry, whose son Aiden died years ago while trying to save the driver of a car that was sinking into a local lake. Since that tragic day, Sarah has managed the Aiden Perry Good Samaritan Scholarship Fund, which aims to raise money and grant scholarships to students to perform heroic acts. Thompson is the first such recipient, though he says he never intended to seek a reward. Boynton Beach Fire and Rescue gave him a big, huge thank you. Now, nearly 5 months later, another organization has decided to honor Thompson for his heroic efforts. The Carnegie Mellon from the Carnegie Hero Fund, given to those throughout the U.S. and Canada who risked death or serious injury in rescuing their fellow man. Only 10,000 of these awards have been given out, and now young Jacob is one of those. Congratulations, sir. Thank you for doing the good work. All right. And now let me introduce you to Branson. Branson Baker. This all happened recently in a spate of tornadoes across the Midwest. Wayne and Linda Baker were driving with their son Branson through the storm, seeking shelter at Wayne's brother's Johnny's house. They never anticipated the horror that awaited them, however, when a tornado literally picked up their truck and threw it into a pile of trees. Johnny heard the phone go dead and wondered how his brother would ever be okay. Branson was miraculously unharmed, was able to escape the truck and run for help. Johnny said that his nephew was only able to navigate his way by waiting for lightning strikes and then running every time as far as he could see with each lightning strike. He probably made about a mile in 10 minutes, and that's pretty impressive for a little kid. That's according to Johnny. Branson did manage to find help leading rescuers to his trapped parents. Wayne and Linda, despite suffering from various medical injuries, were transported to the safety of OU Medical Center. The last thing Branson told them was, "Mom, Dad, please don't die. I'll be back." What a brave young man. Thank you, Branson, for being one of our many heroes of the week. And here it is, folks, the top hero, dual heroes, truthfully. This dramatic incident unfolded during a routine day at Look Sharp Barber Shop on Main Street of East Hartford, Connecticut. When Osvaldo Lugo glanced out the window, he noticed a small child wandering dangerously close to a busy intersection. Reacting swiftly, he alerted his colleague, Rafael Santana, and without any hesitation, the two men darted out the door. They abandoned their customers and race down the street. They did manage to intercept the toddler just mere seconds before he was about to dart into the middle of a busy intersection. And their heroic deed was captured on video. You find that on the internet. He quickly garnered attention after being shared by the East Hartford Police Department. In his statement, the department commended the barber's swift and decisive action, acknowledging them as true heroes whose selfless intervention prevented what could have been a tragic accident. We want to give a massive shout out to the quick thinking and brave duo Osvaldo Lugo and Rafael Santana of Look Sharp Barbershop, the department said. Thanks to them, a potential tragedy was averted and a family remains whole. We're incredibly grateful for these everyday heroes among us. The toddler thankfully was unharmed and was reunited with her very relieved mother. There it is, folks, our hero of the week here on the New Thought Media Network. I want to thank you for being with us here on this Friday evening. You know, it is a great honor to share this stage with my colleagues. And I always like to say a shout out to Reverend Barbara Jean, who's here on the first, usually here on the first Friday of every month. This week, we're switching it up a little bit, and I'm here on the first Friday. So for those that were looking for Reverend Barbara Jean, you'll catch her later this month on a Friday here when we share the good news. And hey, please check us out tomorrow morning. Come join us for Saturday morning Science of Mind and Spirit conversation series. It happens every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Well, here, why don't I just let the videos tell you all about it. All right, that's all we've got time for, folks. Hope to see you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Mountain Time here on the New Thought Media Network. Stay tuned. Reverend Michael Mangus is up in just a half an hour with our Friday Fireside Chat. We'll close out our programming at 8:15 with our evening prayers. Until next time, I want to thank you for being here, and I want to wish you peace and richest blessings. Bye now.